Simple table salt can be transformative on food. I mean, imagine unsalted potato chips or French fries. But what's happening to the potato chips and the French fries when salt hits them? Why does salty caramel taste so good? Why should we add salt to coffee? What's salt doing to that melon that makes it taste so great? Well, understanding how salt affects the taste of food is what every cook needs to know to bring their A-game to the kitchen. Dr. Paul Breslin is a professor of experimental psychology who researches taste perception at Rutgers University and at Monell Chemical Senses Center. He is called the Don of Taste Perception, and he joins us today to explain why salt changes food so much. Paul, good to have you with us.
It's good to be here. Thank you for having me.
So what does happen when salt hits our tongues?
So salt in a crystalline form has to first dissolve into saliva in order for us to taste it. Everything we taste generally comes in some sort of aqueous form. So for solids, they go into saliva, and then from there, they actually go into tiny holes in the epithelia of the mouth and touch the very tips of taste receptor cells there, where there are proteins that they can interact with. They either bind to a protein to activate a cell, or they will go into the cell and then activate the cell. In the case of salts, we believe they go through a pore or a window in the cell that's made by a protein, and from there they turn the cell on, and we're in the process right now of trying to understand what those channels or those windows or pores are, but we're pretty sure that the sodium is actually going straight from the salt shaker or whatever food you're eating into the cells themselves of the taste system.
And the taste system, do you mean what we call taste buds that are on our tongue, or are there other receptors as well?
So the taste buds are an actual sort of micro organ. They're made up of a cluster of about 80 to 100 cells. They're put together in an assemblage that kind of looks like a rosebud, which is in fact why they're called taste buds.
Uh-huh.
And they're microscopic. You can't see them by looking at your tongue in a mirror or looking at someone else's tongue. And on those cells are the receptors. So when we're talking about taste buds, we're talking about a very tiny organ. And when we talk about receptors, we're talking about the proteins on those cells. What you see when you stick your tongue out at yourself in the mirror, those bumps are called papillae. And inside one of those bumps, you can have anywhere between 0 and maybe 20 or so taste buds.
Oh, my. Let's go back to the examples I use. For instance, salty caramel. This is a big deal now, you know, in ice cream and everything you can imagine. What's happening there?
There's a couple different phenomena going on. One is that you're mixing together two qualities of taste that we love. So we're very attracted to sweet taste, which comes from the sugar, and we very much like salt taste in its own right. So we like the salt and we like the sweet. Mixing them together is even better. Caramel also goes through a process when it's heated that it makes compounds that are byproducts of the cooking of the sugar that will make chemicals that have an off taste to them. So if you really burn sugar, you're in effect making it extremely bitter. If you go to the process of just beginning to brown it, it can take on some of the notes or odors that we really like that are part of the caramelization process, but it will become a little bit bitter at the same time. And salt can interact with some of those bitter notes to make them weaker. So it also is modifying the flavor process.
And is that why a little salt when you're making coffee? Because does it take down the bitter side of coffee as well?
It's very common for people to add salt to, I guess, what you might call not great coffee. I don't know that people would add salt to a really good cup of coffee, but for sort of generic coffee, a little bit of salt will take down the bitter notes and make it a little more pleasant. And if the bitterness is low level, a little pinch of salt will probably benefit almost any dish.
Do you have any tips for cooks? For instance, salting well ahead when you're cooking something like meat versus salting after cooking?
I think salt is probably necessary at both ends of cooking for very different reasons. And I think to adhere to the general advice of the whole biomedical complex, which is that we should decrease the amount of salt that we're eating. If you put all the salt in the cooking up front, you're going to create what I think is generally recognized as hidden salt, that the salt is going to bind to really large molecules like proteins in the food, and it'll be there and you'll be eating it, but it won't really be affecting the taste of the food, so it'll be a waste. You really want the salt to be useful for the taste and flavor of the food. Hidden salt does no one any good here. And there's a general phenomenon, which is the larger the molecule a sodium ion is associated with, the less you're going to taste it. So I can give you a whole series of sodium salts at the exact same concentration and have them go all the way from very salty to barely perceptibly salty at all, simply by how big the thing it's attached to is. So when you attach it to large proteins in food, you just don't taste that salt. But rather than take all of the salt out and put it at the end, you need some there up in the beginning because it engages in the cooking process. It is necessary for browning effects, caramelization, generation of Maillard reactants, and for interaction with things like yeast in a baked good. Mm-hmm. It's necessary for the yeast to do its thing. So it will affect texture, bubble size, crust production, all of that. So you have to have some up front. But I would also say put in the minimum that you need to allow those cooking processes to occur. And then at the end, salt to taste. You'll be able to put in much less salt than you would have had you put it all in at the beginning. The food will taste presumably great, and you'll be eating less salt that way.
This is a great thing to remember when you're cooking. Thank you very much, Paul.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Dr. Paul Breslin is a professor in the Department of Nutritional Sciences at Rutgers University. Now, you can put your new salt wisdom to use with a recipe for whole fish roasted in salt. And you can find it on the website, splendidtable.org.